May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, this morning I would like you to actually take out your prayer books, which are in your pews in front of you, and turn to page 707, where we can find the whole of Psalm 84. So turn to page 707 in your prayer books this morning. And as we look at Psalm 84, let us say it one more time, but this time, all of us together. How dear to me is your dwelling, O Lord of hosts! My soul has a desire and longing for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh rejoice in the living God. The sparrow has found her a house, and the swallow a nest where she may lay her young. By the side of your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Happy are they who dwell in your house. They will always be praising you. Happy are the people whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on the pilgrim's way. Those who go through the desolate valley will find it a place. Behold our defender, O God, and look upon the face of your anointed. For one day in your courts is better than a thousand in my own room, and to stand at the threshold of the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord is sun and shield, he will give grace and glory. No good thing will the Lord withhold from those who walk with integrity. O Lord of hosts, happy are they who put their trust in you. Psalm 84 is quite the picture of devotion to God, centering on the temple in Jerusalem. This psalm is very conducive to using our own imaginations in order to enter into the psalmist's world. So I want you to picture yourself on a passable but unpaved road, walking, sandals strapped on your feet, garbed in a tunic and a robe, along with your head covering. You're with a whole conclave of family, friends, and neighbors, as well as animals, going to Jerusalem for the Passover. The terrain is hilly, the days aren't too hot yet, and the nights aren't as cold as they were during the dry winter time. The early rains have finally come and watered the wadi beds so that they're now honest-to-goodness creeks rolling through the valleys. The conversation and songs are all about the temple, the trek to Jerusalem, and the upcoming celebration of when God delivered his people from the clutches of Pharaoh. The kids are arguing over who will find the afikomen, that hidden matzah that they'll eat at the very end of the Passover feast. The whole atmosphere is festive. The barley harvest was good this year, plenty enough to bring a sheaf for the priests to wave at the altar during the festivities at the temple, not to mention enough to eat for this year, plus have seed for the next season's planting. And then you see it rising in the distance, the temple of the living God. The choir and orchestra that were put in place by David are offering songs of praise that you can hear from a distance. They're singing the very same songs that you were singing on the road, but now professional quality. The columns at the entrance of the temple rise like mighty horns supporting the massive roof line. As you enter the temple courtyard, it's abuzz with people praying, preaching, haggling over the price of sacrificial animals, singing, discussing the latest news of the day. People from as far north as the Sea of Galilee to as far south as the deserts of the Negev are crowding to see the priest laying burnt offering after burnt offering on the brazier like some never-ending barbecue cook-off. Yet even a swallow is happy to hang around all this hubbub, feeling safe enough to build a nest in the high raftered nooks around 10 stories up in the temple. No wonder the psalmist is full of awe. This is the place where God chose to dwell among his people. This is the place where Solomon built a permanent home for the Ark of the Covenant. This is the place where every faithful child of Jacob traveled to worship 3 times a year if they were near enough and able-bodied enough. What a picture. So when we read the psalmist longing for the courts of the Lord, he's speaking while in transit. Now, I think most of us reach a point when we're traveling long distance where we wish we had finally already reached our destination. But instead of grouching over how tired he was, the psalmist looks with expectation to finally reaching his destination, the place of God's dwelling. He marvels over the sights and sounds of the temple as he draws near it. Whether birds, the congregation singing, the rewards of being part of a group of pilgrims with hearts aflame to meet with God. Even the once dusty wadis are places of refreshment along the way to God's house. This gives the psalmist heart as he climbs and ascends and descends the hills of the Judean countryside. His soul is stirred to pray. He asks God to reveal himself and to reveal and bless his anointed one. He reflects on how much better it is to be where God is than any dwelling of his own, let alone hanging out with the ne'er-do-wells who have no care for the things of God. It's then he recognizes the Lord for who he is, his grace and goodness, the mercy and help he offers in our time of deepest need, the glory with which he adorns our lives. The psalmist sees firsthand how God blesses those who follow his ways faithfully. He sees that those who fully and unreservedly trust the Lord are blessed and happy beyond compare. By envisioning this world of pilgrimage to the house of the Lord, putting ourselves among the throng heading to worship and feast with God, and in reflecting on the psalmist's own experience, perhaps we can make connections with our own walk of faith today. It would be easy to say that church buildings are God's temple today, but I think the Lord has a different idea. St. Paul reminds us that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, individually. And St. Peter reminds us that we are each living stones in God's house corporately. Thus, when we gather together as the people of God, we should be ecstatic as the psalmist is, to be in the very presence of those in whom the Holy Spirit is pleased to dwell. We should come to St. George's fully anticipating to meet God both in ourselves and in one another. We should come here expecting to see God doing wonders among his people and within our own hearts. Yet there's also a sense in which we are still pilgrims in this life. We are strangers in a strange land, citizens of heaven, but traveling through this fallen world with the hope of reaching our permanent home in the presence of God forever. We often call this heaven, but the Bible is clear that heaven is coming to earth too. We read in Ephesians 1:10, where God plans to unite all things in heaven and earth in his Son, Jesus Christ. And in Revelation 21, where the new Jerusalem comes down to earth at the end of history. So we look forward to a day when the new creation begun in our hearts by the Spirit becomes the new creation in the world at the return of our Savior in glory. We live in this weird in-between time when we already have tasted the goodness of God, but not yet experienced its fullness. So the psalmist's pilgrim expectation resonates with our own earthly pilgrimage into the new heavens and new earth. We can also take another cue from the psalmist who recognized who God truly is and thus was inspired to pray. We have a God whose glory is seen in both the natural world and in human craftsmanship. We have a God who can bless, forgive, and strengthen us. We have a God who draws out prayers from our hearts and answers them according to his good purposes. We have a God who makes us truly blessed and grants us abiding happiness. A God who we can be at home with. And indeed, a God who has already made his home with us. By the end of Psalm 84, we see the vision the psalmist sees, a vision that makes any travail faced on the road of life worth the while, a vision that inspires a longing to make his abode with God forever, a vision that reveals what a wonderful God he truly serves. I hope you're inspired by the psalmist's vision today. I hope you're looking to see how the Spirit is present and active in your life and the lives of your fellow Christians. I hope you're excited to see the best that our Heavenly Father has for you. I hope you aren't settling for second best, but pressing forward in your pilgrimage to meet Jesus face to face. I hope you're moved to pray with boldness and complete conviction that our Father will answer any prayer made in Jesus' name. So to that end, let us pray. O God, you have brought us near to an innumerable company of angels and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Grant us during our earthly pilgrimage to abide in their fellowship and in our heavenly country to become partakers of their joy. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.